الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فيقول الحق سبحانه يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and surely Allah is the friend and protector of the righteous. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by cautioning myself and you to have taqwa, that we fear Allah, we hope in the mercy of Allah. And this develops a quality in us, a type of consciousness where we are aware of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And we are aware of the weakness of ourselves and the tests that surround us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealing to humanity the final text, the final testament. Within this are millions of gems of wisdom. One of them is that Allah Azza wa Jalla, in speaking to believers, has said, O you who believe, fear Allah in the way He should be feared. Keep your duty to Allah in the way you should, and do not die except as Muslims. And so as the bottom line in this gem of wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the critical nature of our Islam. That we need to, in all affairs, when we are looking at the world, when we are looking at money, when we are looking at social life, realize that the most important aspect of our existence is our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when the end comes, there will be nothing else left. O you who believe, I bring you salams and greetings from your brothers and sisters in Malaysia. And there, alhamdulillah, we found, in being involved in a large conference, but we found in Malaysia itself, a Muslim society that is developing. It is going through changes, but it is one of the positive expressions of Islam in the world. One of the positive expressions of Islam in the 21st century. And it is so important for us that we begin to focus on the positivities and not allow the negative things to overcome us. But while we are looking at the positive things, we need to be critical as well, to try to understand how we can improve ourselves and how we can understand the situation that we are in. And there, amongst many of the young people coming out to the Islamic events, and alhamdulillah, now Malaysia has not only masjids all over the country, but that Islam has become normalized. It is not strange to be somebody who is practicing Islam. Even though it is not in the heartlands of Islam, it is not strange to be a Muslim, and it is not strange for somebody to want to seek Islamic knowledge on a college level, a university level, and at the same time be involved in the world. In the past, people were either one extreme or the other. Completely studying Islamic studies have nothing to do with the world. Or completely involved in secular studies and don't understand Islam. Now, what is happening and developing in Malaysia is one struggling example of people who are trying to understand the principles of the religion, but to apply them to their lives, to make it as part of the society. But the young people still questioned. And many times the questions coming to me and others were looking not at the superficial aspects of Islam, because the superficial aspects are there. You can pray, you can fast, you can go to pilgrimage, you can practice your Islam. Halal food is everywhere. You don't have to worry about eating halal. But they wanted to know, is this the end? What is behind this? With the crises happening in the world, how can we take our Islam to a higher stage? How can we get the essence of Islam? This is a very serious issue for us today, because we are going through a serious testing, and we are going through a lifestyle prescribed to us by the Creator of the heavens and the earth. But in this prescription, it is not set up in order to end with the rituals themselves, but to take it a step further, to take it to a higher stage. In that region as well, in part of their island country, Malay archipelago, the Sultan of Brunei announced the implementation of Sharia law, that he wanted Sharia law in consultation with scholars to be implemented in the land. And this for Muslims in his country and in the region and around the world, this was good news. This was a bushra. But the press, the secular media, took it to another stage, took it to another angle. That this is going backwards. This is not going forward into the 21st century. It's going backwards out of the 21st century. And so, for Muslims, Sharia itself, and this is a way of life, we know this is a way of life, that Sharia is basically submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's our whole lifestyle. The fact that we are here today making Jumu'ah in a state of wudu, we're following Sharia. If we make two rakats for Salatul Jumu'ah, we're following Sharia. There are so many hundreds and thousands of things that we are doing constantly which are in line with Sharia law. But the principles behind it that we understand and people on the ground understood, the principles behind the implementation, what are to nurture or to develop a righteous individual. That the society would not be producing a consumer, not be producing just a loyal citizen, but the society produces one who is muttaqi, one who has taqwa, who is a righteous person. That is the essence of the whole exercise of having a society like this, that the individuals coming out of it would be righteous. Also to establish justice in the land. And thirdly, to bring masalih, benefits to the society. Not to harm the society. But the image that comes in the media, the secular media, not all of the media, but the ignorant media, is that Sharia means there will be more people who will have their hands cut off, who have their heads cut off, who will be punished, who will be suffering because of this. The reality on the ground for the people who understand what it is and who pray for it is the opposite. This is a strange situation. The protection aspect of the Sharia means that people's religion would be protected, that their lives would be protected, that their mind, their thoughts, their intellect would be protected, that their future generations would be protected, that their wealth would be protected. That's the opposite of punishment. So we have a strange situation here, where the people who know what the term means and are implementing it have one understanding, but yet there's another prevailing understanding going around that appears to be just the opposite. The Prophet ﷺ did not speak from himself. He spoke with knowledge from above seven heavens. In an authentic tradition on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ سَنَوَاتٌ خَدَّاءَتْ يُصَدِّقُ فِيهَا الْكَاذِبُ وَيُكَذِّبُ فِيهَا الصَّادِقُ وَيُؤْتَمَنُ فِيهَا الْخَائِنُ وَيُخَوَّنُ فِيهَا الْأَمِينُ وَيَنْتِقُ فِيهَا الرُّوَيْبِدَةُ قِيلَ وَمَا الرُّوَيْبِدَةُ قَالَ الرَّجُلَ التَّافِي فِي أَمْرِ الْعَامَةِ. This hadith reported in At-Tirmidhi Ibn Majah, an authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was reported to have said, there will come upon the people years of deceit. It's like deception, right? Years of deception will come upon the people, in which the liar will be believed, and the truthful will be considered a liar. The treacherous deceiver will be trusted, and the trustworthy custodian will be considered disloyal. And the ruwaybida would speak out. So the one who would have the public voice, they would speak out. And it was said, who is the ruwaybida? Who is this ruwaybida? And the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the most despicable, worthless people who will speak out on behalf of the masses. And Sadaqa Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, we see it coming about in the leadership. We see the leadership of this world carrying people into a state of confusion, using even the name of religion, using the names of peace, and causing the opposite. And so this concept now, this strange concept, is one that Muslims have to come to grips with. And we have to take our Islam to a higher stage in order to understand this. The situation that we are in is coming right at the time of Ramadan. Although it is said when people hear the name Islam or Muslim or anything concerning that, they think of aggression. The reality is the United Nations just released a report saying that there are more refugees in this world now. Over 52 million refugees. There are more refugees in this world than World War II. That's the stage of the world. And the majority of the refugees, the majority of the people who are suffering are Muslims. That is the opposite. That is the opposite. And that is something that even, number one, we within ourselves, our own leadership has to first come to grips with. Why are you the leader? What is the purpose of this? What value will you get out of being the leader? If you cannot be the proper leader, give it to somebody who can. And so we are faced with this challenge as we come to the month of Ramadan. And many would say, well, the month of Ramadan, now it's going to make it worse. Because not only do we have crisis, but we can't eat food. We can't drink water during the day. So that's going to make it worse. But taking our religion to a deeper level, going past the superficial stage. The superficial stage is you can't eat, you can't drink. But the reality of Ramadan is something else. It is not, in essence, a physical battle of animals for food and drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun. Fasting, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on those who came before you in order that you would have taqwa. So the essence of the Ramadan, of this exercise we are about to go through, the essence of this is to raise the taqwa, is to improve the quality of our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the blessing of this? When we look at our countries now in crisis, we look at people under the gun. What is the blessing of this? We see the lies circulating about us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in Surah Ali Imran, verse 120, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. That if you have sabr, if you patiently persevere, and if you keep your duty to Allah, you have taqwa, their evil plans will not harm you. It ultimately will not harm you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounds with His knowledge everything. There is nothing which is unclear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the verse is talking about sabah and taqwa. Okay, we heard that this is the month of taqwa. But the Prophet ﷺ also said, "Huwa shahru sabr." It's the month of patience and perseverance. And so the patience and perseverance, these two qualities are upon us. And when the verses come to us, we need to start reading the Quran, looking for these verses. Look for these qualities. This is our lifeblood. This is the vitamin C. This is the cure to the crisis that we're in. One example of looking, how does this come about? What happens when these elements are located in a gem of wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What else is in it? One example in Surah Ali Imran, verse 200, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right at the end of the chapter, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu isbiru wasabiru warabitu wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. So Allah mentions these qualities in the verse, O you who believe, usbiru wasabiru. Patiently persevere, no matter what is happening around. Hang on to your faith. Wasabiru, have patience with those who are even around you. Have patience with each other. And then Allah said, warabitu. Warabitu. Unite yourselves. Defend the borders. Protect each other. Rabitu, ribat. Come together and be strong. And what comes after the ribat? Wattaqullah. Have the consciousness of Allah. Have that taqwa, and then you will be successful. So there's a formula for success, a formula for us to look at. And it begins not just on an outward level, it begins on an inward level. All of us are involved in this. And from the individuals, it then goes out to reach the whole state of the ummah. If we go back to our rituals, that Ramadan is coming now. And as the young Malay Muslim, wanting to know more, how can we go to a higher level? What is the essence of this exercise that we're doing? The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, As-salawat al-khams, wal-jum'ah ila al-jum'ah, wa-ramadan ila ramadan, mukaffiratun ma baynahunna, idha jtunibat al-kabayir. Rawahu Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said that your five prayers and one Jum'ah to another Jum'ah and a Ramadan to a Ramadan can be an expiation of all of your sins if you stay away from the major sins. Al-Kaba'ir. So there's something to it. It's not a free pass. There's something else to it. That we have to repair not only just our hunger, our ability to have patience, but our character and our deeds. That is the essence. That is taking it a step further. What will this taqwa, what will this consciousness bring us? This is the month of taqwa. We want to take it a step further now. Why is this happening to us? What is the ultimate goal? Where are we ultimately heading toward? Keep this in mind. Have the greater picture of things. Because what is happening now in the Muslim world, it is crucial, read the final texts, concerning al-fitn, the major trials and tests of Akhir al-Zaman. We are moving towards major changes in our nation and major changes on this earth. It's lining up. And it's important for us to realize what is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is not earthly. The ultimate goal is the hereafter. And what does the taqwa do for us? Abu Huraira reported, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ أَكْثَرِ مَا يُدْخِلَ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَالَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is the main reason why people would enter paradise? And he said, taqwa Allah, the consciousness of Allah, wa husn al-khuluq, good character. That is the essence of the whole thing. Wa su'ila an akthari ma yudkhil an-nas an-nar faqala al-fam wal-faraj. And then he was asked, what is the main reason why people will enter hellfire? And he said, it is the mouth and the private parts. So Ramadan is a blessing. It's a blessing. And the longer the fast is, it's even more blessing. And that might sound strange, because some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who understood this, who understood that the hardships now, going through hardships for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can take you to a higher stage. When Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was asked, what do you love to do the most? And if many of us were asked, what would we love to do the most? What would you love to have? It would probably be some food or going somewhere. You know what? How Ali answered? He said, I love fasting on a hot day. So he would love being here. He would love it here in July. Why would he love this? Seems like punishment. Because by going through the challenge, right, by changing his character, the protection from the mouth, the private parts, Ramadan can give that. What is the main reason why entering paradise? Taqwa, la'allakum tattaqoon. Ramadan can give that. Your character changes in Ramadan if you're serious about the fast. So Ramadan can give this. So it is a great blessing to us, what we are going through. And the other quality of sabah is crucial one to understand too. Because people think of sabah, they think sabah is only patience in difficulty. A sabah al-adha. That if you're in difficulty, you have to have patience, and you do have to have patience. But what about a sabah al-afiyah? What about patience in good times? That may be a worse test than the people who are now under the gun. How will we respond? We hear it over and over again. Now a new situation in Sri Lanka. Every week we're hearing something else. Other Muslims under the gun. How will we respond? A sabah al-afiyah is that we take this blessing that we have, the good times. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shukr. How do we thank Allah? By taking the ni'mah, taking the blessings and using it for ta'ah, using it for obedience to Allah. So how do we thank Allah in our situation? By seriously looking into ourselves, how, what we can do to assist the refugee populations, those who are suffering, the situation of Muslims, not only in the Muslim world, but right here, that this month can be a chance for us to raise our level, and also a chance for us to be able to smoothly leave this world and enter into the next. The Prophet ﷺ clearly told us, and this is another blessing in Ramadan, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsa wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. He said the intelligent person is the one who controls himself and works for what is after death. والأحمق من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله الأماني. The fool is the one who lets himself go and then believes that Allah will forgive him in the end. Okay, so I'll do wrong in this world and whatever, and then I'll make Hajj when I reach 60 years old. Everything will be okay. That's a fool. Al-tayyis, the intelligent person, is the one who now controls himself. Work towards it. All of us are moving towards it. All of it. And what we have to understand is no matter what happens in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who ultimately has control. It is reported, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was reported to have said, when the inmates of paradise would go to paradise and the inmates of hell would enter into hell, death would be called in the form of a speckled ram, a multicolored ram, in between the inhabitants of paradise, the inhabitants of hellfire. Death would then be given a form, like a ram. And then it would be slaughtered. And the announcer would cry, O people of paradise, no more death. There's no more death. And this would increase their joy and their thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would increase it. Again, it would be said, no more death. And the inhabitants of hellfire, this would increase their grief and increase their sadness. We are going through tremendous changes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best to guide us. Now is the time. Taqwa, sabr. Have consciousness of Allah. Hold on to the deen. Be prepared to help. To give whatever we have to assist other Muslims who are in the crises that they are going through. And use this time to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sincere dua for our brothers and sisters who are suffering all over the world, who are suffering in the Middle East, suffering in Africa, suffering Sri Lanka, in all parts of the Muslim world. May Allah azza wa jal lighten up their burden. May Allah azza wa jal have mercy upon the weak of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and protect the children of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and protect the dignity and honor of the women of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and protect and give guidance to the men of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may Allah raise up a leader, a righteous leader, to take our Ummah and our confused political leaders from darkness into light. And may Allah make us to be of those who would enter paradise and who would be in joy when they hear no more death. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد يا عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم أمتي هذه أمة مرحومة ليس عليها عذاب في الآخرة عذابها في الدنيا الفتن والزلازل والقتل ويقول الحق سبحانه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وأنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك يا رب العالمين. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا مريدا إلا شفيت ولا ميتا إلا رحمت ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله يرحمكم الله. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيم الصلاة.